Okay, Bruchim Aboyim. We welcome all the Choshev Rabbanim who joined us, and hopefully more will be coming on shortly, but we didn't want to wait. I think everybody knows that this is very much Chodesh Adar. It's an Im Leis Hazayis Yigat L'Malchus moment for all of Klal Yisrael, and we're all being challenged to help the thousands upon thousands of Yidden in Ukraine, and now many of them all over Eastern Europe, who need so much help and need us, and in Mirza Hashem, we will be zeichet to provide that help, or at least try as much as we can. So today on this call, we're going to be joined by Rav Moshe Fima, who's from Pinsk, who will give us a report from on the ground, Rav Yaakov Steyerman, who's going to talk about the needs and why we need to have so much money, because it's halfly, and Rav Shlaich Noach Mandel, who will tell us how we're going to distribute, and in Mirza Hashem, we'll end with myself, who two asks for the Rabbanim, and then we'll get a bracha chrit from Rav Chaim David Zwiebel, our Choshev Executive Vice President. So we'd like to start now with Rav Moshe Fima, who's a Rav and community leader in the Ukraine and in Belarus, and he's right now, I think, in Pinsk, and he will give us a report from what is actually happening right now. Rav Moshe Fima.
Good afternoon, everyone. There's no words how the koyach of achdus that we feel of Klal Yisrael, and especially American Jewry, gives us a koyach to work 24/7 in order to keep on working to save as many Yidden as we can. I can't speak for the wonderful organizations, Baruch Hashem. We're here to join today by Rabbi Mandel, who's just in charge of the Shema Yisrael network, and I'm only one of the little parts of the big network, as well as Yad Yisrael that's working with two communities. But besides, why I'm going to give you a report is why I've been directly involved together with the team over here in Belarus, and you should multiply it by tens to understand the big tzrochim of Klal Yisrael by itself. As of today, Wednesday evening, 11:04, we have got out from Ukraine close to 2,500 Yidden, of which 1,700 of them have already left Moldova, which means they've gone through the whole process, which means assembling them, getting them to the border, selecting the men and putting them away to send them over in a different way, sending the women and children over the border, getting most of the other men to join the families. And out of 1,700 already left. Currently between the border of Ukraine and the border of, and the kitchen of the refugee camps, there's another 42 making the way from the Moldovan border to Kishinev itself. While we're talking, there's 302 people on the road from various cities making the way towards the Moldovan border, of which close to 100 of them are men. Our biggest challenges that we've had recently, even though we've been matzliach in the past to take out hundreds of men through the border at an expense that's crazy, but that one specific avenue that we had has been closed. And over the past day, we've been working on 7 different avenues. However, we have to understand that these avenues are getting the price to get a man out till today was $2,500. The price offers that we're getting now are anywhere between $3,000 and $15,000 to get a man out. Now, I just spoke in the past hour. I spoke to someone who's very close to Malchus over there, and the law is coming out, and this law is mamish disturbing my menuchas and nefesh. The law is being written now as we speak, that over the next 4 days, the law is meant to come out that those people who do not want to serve in the army, they need to give $100,000 to the Ukrainian government in order to be freed of the army. At the same time, parallel to that, there's always two chalokim. There's the chalik till they get over the border, and that's one unbelievable hardship, especially recently we've been taking out of cities on the fire, and we needed to get special passageway in order people should be able to leave. However, at the same time, the sakana is as soon as you get over the border, so I wouldn't call it pikuch nefesh that's toich haShabbos, but I would call it pikuch nefesh from Tzad HaRuchni. Yesterday, we had two of our representatives that flew in, former Talmidim, that flew in especially from England to assess the situation on the ground over there in Moldova itself, to make sure that if we're ready, they're ready over there, at least we should help them, direct them in the right direction that they can go. And the right direction is, at least they should be connected to Jewish communities normal form, Heimish Jewish communities are not stamped, thrown, going to Israel or going to other places, and nothing will come out from them. And that is now something, as we're talking now, parallel to the Atzolos, parallel to the Atzolos Nefoshes Gashmi that we're working on the whole time, and the numbers are just growing from day to day. We're working on setting up a team, sending out 10, 15 chevra. We had a phone call now from guys from Etzal that used to be former workers.
Low battery. And
a couple of guys from America who came to offer to be there in order to send them down to speak to the people. I'd just like to finish up with giving you 1 minute of a doubt for what people are going through. Very often we say, wow, Baruch Hashem, he saved his life. There's a much bigger sakono there. We had a lady from Moldova saying, she was having a difficult, the Israeli embassy were driving her crazy about her documents. She said, they want to commit suicide enough. She was a bit of an elderly woman. I can't take it anymore. Living like a homeless person, even though, Baruch Hashem, they have a shelter on the head. They have food that they're being given, kosher food. But still, the psychological difficulties that people are going through is something so frightening that's over there. That's the bigger picture of the Mahamoyin Am. In the bigger picture, there's also smaller pictures. You have individual cases throughout the day. I get Moshe, Zaka ambulance in Kiev. They're prepared to take our lady. They want €5,800, right? And I answer back, do they take crypto? Because how else am I going to move cash over so quick? And another case, another 20 minutes later, there's another lady that needs to be evacuated urgently from the Mariupol region. Another 20 minutes later, there's a girl who was a bone fell on the foot, a 20-year-old girl that fell on the foot. A bomb was hit her, next to her, and she's in Kharkiv, one of the hardest places. We need the ambulance to evacuate it. And the ambulance only takes one, or maybe another person at the front if they don't need medical evacuation. So the mansib over here is Bikuach Nefesh Mamash. We're sitting over here, one of the chevra in the room, that a classmate of his, on the way to Zhytomyr, which is probably what it was in the hottest areas around. His name was Kutsi. And he was driving and he saw a Russian tank coming against him and he stopped his car to run out on the tanks, took the rifles and they killed him and they killed his young child they had. We're not speaking about getting out of the comfort zone. We're speaking about Pikuach Nefesh Mamash. And for this Pikuach Nefesh, as long as we have the backing from American Jew and Klal Yisrael to give us the opportunity to keep going on, then we can do it. Because even though we would sell everything that we have, but that might help to save another few yidden, but no more than that. However, at the same time, there's no gemachim here, there's no credit cards over here, there's no banks over here. Or in Belarus, which is meant to be a safer place, we're allowed to take out $3,000 cash a week on condition that we order the money 7 days before. And Kavachoyim in Ukraine, where it's bichlal impossible, and everything is being done, dafke by crypto, the amount close to $1 million we spent just by crypto over the past 8-9 days in order to help Klal Yisrael. So I'm turning to you, Choshev Rabbonim, please try and give the message over to Klal Yisrael that the Rachmonim Blei Rachmonim, that they should be able to do whatever they can do to be Matzil. Chazal teaches Kol Matzil Never Shachas Yisrael Kilu Ki Moil Amolei Lefichach Nivro Adim Echid Elayim Bishvili Nivro Elam. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu Bechvoidi Be'atzvoi created the whole universe for one Adim Rishon and didn't even have a wife, so and he wasn't even a Yid, that we are saving Yidden, and we're speaking about the mamash, iota of an iota that people have in order to save them. I'd like you to excuse me if I can go back to the work over here in order to be matzah.
Shikayach. Rafima, can you just show us?
Now before I get off.
No, that's okay. We need to move on. But can you show us the shot of people don't realize Rafim is not just sitting by himself. There's 20 people in a room that are working very hard together with him. So Yashir Kayev to all of you. Not
this is one of the rooms, and downstairs we have another room where the guys are just making the calls and reaching out to people minute after minute, hour after hour.
Hatzol's mom Shkayev. Rafim, go back to work. We don't want to be matriach you. Thank you very much. And our next person will hear from Rabbi Yaakov Shteyerman, the director of Yad Yisrael, who's been working for 32 years, Kanai Nahara, in the Ukraine area and in Eastern Europe. He's going to give us a little bit of an understanding of what costs so much. I just want to say one thing that he told me in preparation. He said a normal person over 20 years, so they buy pots one day, the next year they buy pans, they buy clothing over a number of years. Can you imagine somebody who's b'chayser kol has zero, coming out with no pots and pans, no clothing, no food, nothing, starting from the beginning. And that's why it costs so much. Rabbi Steinerman, to help us understand this a little better.
I'm only going to maybe bring out a few points to be more. I'm sure that the many rabbonim that did speak to their shuls about the inyan are getting bombarded with many questions of why they need so much and how much they need and what they need it for. From one side, we can understand that the questions are legitimate. People give tzedakah, they want to know what it's going for, but there are many costs here and many inyonim that are poshut not to be understood. We just heard from Reb Moshe, just as a small example, those people that need to get, they're not allowed to cross the border legally and are going over the border illegally. Just to give you a little bit of an idea, just that one item itself, what we've put out so far has been over approximately over $400,000. Just in these, let's say, 10 days.
The fees that are charged are increasing.
Just that one item. And as Moshe said, until now, it was 2.5 a head. Now it went up to asking ready for 2.5 euro, not dollars, which is approximately 3,000. And it's, depending on every situation, it could be anywhere between 3,000 and up. And as he just said, we don't know what's awaiting us. That's just in that one item itself. Transportation. Just transportation itself up till now, that only we, Yad Yisrael, there are many other organizations working. Rav Shlomo Noach can fill in that part a little bit as well. Besides the people from Odessa, the people working in Lvov at Polish Board and various others. I'm just talking about what Yad Yisrael itself spent on transportation over the last 10 days, 2 weeks, was probably over $500,000 just in transportation. These are two singular items that just there alone, we have about $1 million. And this is the imminent expense. What's of course the most important for Pekuach Nefoshes. There's money that we spent once they get over the border in housing them, in feeding them in the refugee camps and taking care of their needs. Even the kvutza that came to Pinsk, the first kvutza that came out, it means renting apartments for them, their families with children, with young children, some of them with infants. We can't let them live in a refugee camp. The Rabbonim saw some of the pictures that are coming out. Refugee camps, mamish, you have whole mishpachas, maybe 5 mishpachas, 10 mishpachas that are living in one big room together. It's doch nishayach tzalev mazay. So we're renting them apartments. We're getting them the food they need, the basic things that they need. We're feeding them. That's step two, once they get over the border. Step three, they can't stay, let's say, in Moldova forever. It's a transit. People have to get to normal places. There are many people, let's say, coming to Eretz Yisrael. They come to Eretz Yisrael, they come out of Ben-Gurion Airport, out of the terminal. Where are they going? Where are they taking a taxi to? Let alone if they have even a few dollars in the pocket to pay for the taxi. You have to give people some money, some pocket money. Get them to an apartment. Get them, as the Blavish mentioned, what I told them before. People don't have, I spoke to a Talmud of ours, a young couple. They just got married in this past summer. They were living in Odessa. They both made it to Eretz Yisrael. The bureaucracies and going through the hardship, just arranging the papers that they need in Eretz Yisrael and everything else, that's one issue. They needed help with that. He's telling me they have to buy linens, they have to buy housewares, they have to buy clothing. His wife has to buy clothing. They picked up and ran with just a few basic beer necessities, whatever fit into a little handbag, a little suitcase. They're starting from scratch, mamish. And that's a young couple that, okay, they started life 8 months ago. So they'll start. What do you do with a family that has 5 children can order, that has 8 children can order? Then Bazorg, the place where they should live, to get the children in Chadorim, to get the girls into Beis Yankis. How, but did anybody think the trauma that some of these families went through until they got where they got to? They need psychological help. They have to take care of the medical needs. There are elderly people that are infirm, unwell, invalids. Who's taking care of that? And Rabbi Yisai, nobody knows when and how this Muhammad is going to end. We don't know if there'll still be a Ukraine. We don't know if it's going to become Russia. And let's just think about the fact that if it does become Russia, who knows if these people will be able to live there normally, given the sanctions that the West is going to have on them. If the banks will work, and who knows what they're going to do. Even if they do come back, and let's say this remain Ukraine, what are they coming back to? How many of the buildings will be still standing still? How many of the shuls and moises will still be standing? What will be the reconstruction effort? The people that left apartments, some of them are being looted. Do they know if they're going to come back to an apartment that wasn't broken into and stolen of all the goods?
Their cars.
But the cars, some people left their cars. A person went out from Hungary, left his car in Hungary, went out right. Is it going to still be the one that when they tried and attempt to return? And some people, as a fact, we've heard from people that were quite well-to-do, that had rechush, that had apartments, they're not coming back. They left everything the way it is, and they went to other places in Europe, some to the States. They're not holding by going back. I know it's very hard to tell people sometimes, you know, to get the big picture and look so much into the future. People want to hear what this Lamaise, the Rabbonim should understand why there's such huge sums of money that are needed. I asked the Blavish the other day, if I told you that a family comes to Eretz Yisrael and we want to give him something to start off with, how much would you say we should give him? Reb Leibish answered me, $10,000. No, so Reb Leibish made a cheshbon and he multiplied 10,000 by I forgot how much, and he came up
with 5,000 people.
And we need $50 million just for that. Even though where's $10? Everybody knows what the cost of living today is in Eretz Yisrael or somewhere else. What's $10,000 going to do
for them? Not even a lot of money.
It's a beautiful matana for them. Yeah. It's a beautiful matana for them. But really, is it enough? And then you need a whole army of people to help the people get jobs, sort out all the different problems that they have, resettle. It's a riesige arbit. And that's why it's so important. This Eis Lasos, when we're going to come, I'm afraid, like I told the Blavish, I'm afraid what's going to happen in 3 weeks from now, if Chalila V'chas, this thing continues for 3 weeks. As everybody knows, the Teva is, you get used to it and you become complacent. We don't know if we're going to be able to raise the money in 3 weeks from now. Now is the Eis Lasos. That's what we have to do. The Eis Lasos are healthy. We should be able to stand up to the challenge. And it's not a moiridik. I could tell you it's poshit lahafli. Mika amcha yisrog ayachta ba'oretz. Of people that have reached out and with such a rotzen and such a vankite to do. So the Zainach schus for ganz klal Yisrael. And so the Zainach zain for the ganze Yeshua b'korov.
Amen. Amen. Shkeich v'shtayman. And our next speaker, and then I'll wrap up, and then introduce Chaim David, is Rav Shlomo Noach Mendel, who's, and I can say all three, everyone's our heroes. They've really literally worked without sleeping for weeks already.
I slept.
Oh, you slept? Okay, good. Okay, but not too much, not as much as usual. So we'll ask Rav Shlomo Noach to tell us how are the funds being, this is also that's asked, is how are the funds being distributed, where did they go, what's the cheshbon, and a little bit to give us a little bit of an insight, and then I'll make the ask for the rabbanim.
Agura has been the leading force over here in everything that's been done in the Hatzalah, and for our kehilas, which Yad Yisrael is one of the lead kehilas of it, and for all the others, Agudas Yisrael not only has been there, but they've been mamish the leading force, and the koyach that Agudas Yisrael has as the operational arm of Das Torah and of the Gedolei Torah is very, very apparent over here. Not always is known. My Rabbi Rav Gifter used to say that sometimes you see things that the Aguda publicizes that they don't seem to be so chashuv. That's because the things that really matter are the things that Aguda Israel is doing all the time, but they can't publicize it. And even in this work over here, there's so much that's being done, as Rabbi Steinman mentioned, that we can't publicize Rabbi Steinman mentioned the hundreds of thousands from Kiev. Yesterday, the figure that we got from Odessa was 1.5 million with an exact cheshbon of how many people and how many groups, etc. And these things in detail will never make it to the, can never make it to the newspapers. Well, the Maisa Gudis Israel is Taka always there. And I know that the people of Gudis Israel are also considering the next phase, which Rabbi Steinman described the Tsaras of Unzara Chevra Ki'ilu that made it out. So the Shomrei Torah Mitzvos who are early, maybe second or even third generation Bali Tshuva. However, there's an additional problem of all the Kiruv work that people like Rabbi Fima are doing on the field in Belarus and others, where these kids are only now starting to come to day school, their parents aren't even from. These people are in great danger of getting lost completely. I was speaking to somebody today who was on the ground in Warsaw, and he went to two of the hotels of the Jewish Agency and one of the joint. Jewish Agency are paying for hotels for people who are making Aliyah, and the joint for people who are planning to go elsewhere in the West. So you see Kinderlach drawing around with yarmulkes, and he approached one of them. He said that his family hasn't eaten all day because they're not serving kosher, because he can't get kosher food, and the kid doesn't want to eat. Family doesn't want to eat non-kosher food. And these people are going to arrive in Eretz Yisrael or in Kansas City to some uncle or brother-in-law who's not even Jewish. And what's going to happen with these people? And that's something that also Gudis Israel is now considering. Think about sending a mission on the ground to the refugee centers, Ki'ilu, in Belarus and in Moldova and Romania to see how they can be helpful. And I know the Rosh Hashivas, Reb Shmuel and Reb Eliezer, Reb Shlomo Miller, they're all thinking about this problem as well. And we're very happy if they make it to Eretz Yisrael. But we have to mobilize all of the koiches, Shubu and Yad La'achim and all the other koiches, and all the koiches of all the Western Russian kehilas. They're beautiful kehilas all over. We have it here in Toronto and New York and everywhere, to make sure that they're mobilized, that we don't lose the work. And you didn't ask me to speak about this, but I also just want to point out that I was talking to somebody in Rabbi Fima's crisis center. His name is Yitzchak Kozlov. And he says to me, you know, all of our hard work, I see mamish b'churban. I look around and I see, you know, all that the Stalinist shul just moved to a beautiful new shul, just built a beautiful edifice in Kiev with a mikveh, with a beautiful dining room, with a gorgeous base medrash. And now it's sitting gladik, you know, it's not really empty because it's full of amchiyin who are running there because they know that if they want to get out of Ukraine, the best place to come is through the shuls because buses are always there. So it's being used for that. But what about all those people? And I told him that, you know, it says Mizmal Asaf, Chazal say, because Shafach, Chamasal, Eitzim Vavonim, the Maisa, the Yidden that you built, the base of Migdash that's inside the hearts of all these Yidden, that wasn't destroyed. And that's going to always remain. And that's for sure something that the Ribbono Shelam will make sure that we continue to take care of. Anyway, you didn't ask me for a drasha. So in terms of the numbers over here, so far, as far as we can tell, the fund that Agudas Yisrael is raising, as you know, is a matching fund. So Rabbi Becker, I'm not exactly sure what it's up to, but it's probably around 6 million by now.
It's 7 million.
7 million.
Yisrael not only did volume the Neusnim, but they're not even waiting to be asked. They're giving.
Yeah.
Baruch Hashem.
So that's mamish beautiful. But you should know that you've seen a lot of other campaigns, including some of the Maestas that we're cooperating with. And the way that we're sort of making sure that all the money is spent sort of in an erlich way is that we're matching what they're giving. So that 7 million keilu yetzim is worth $14 million because people are also giving generously to other campaigns, maybe not generously enough, but they are. And as a result, so the work on the ground is being matched. Now, when you see $7 million, it means that half of it was given with credit cards and the money is more or less in the bank, I think. It takes a little bit of time to get there, but it's on its way. But the other half is also pledges, and not all of that has made it so far. But in Halach Lamaisa, our major partners include Yad Yisrael and a huge operation called Tikva, which is yeshivas and maestas HaTorah and the Gansa Kehila, including orphanages and etc., that was in Odessa. And they're now evacuated mainly to Romania, also a little in Moldavia. And they're eventually all going to get together. He has place now for 1,300 people. And his opinion, because of the problem I mentioned earlier of not losing nefashas, is that he wants the whole kehillah to be together first in Romania and to live normally over there. And for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks until we see what's going to be with the end of the war, to see if they can go back or not go back. And if they go to Eretz Yisrael, they should go as a kehillah. But in any case, you can imagine that those costs are very, very high as well. And so they're another major partner. We're dealing with two other kehillahs in Kiev. We're dealing with the Stalina kehillah in Lvov, which a lot of everybody who's evacuating almost is going through Lvov. And Rabbi and Rebbetzin of Lvov, who are also Stalina Hasidim, are in Eretz Yisrael now. However, they're on the ground there, and we're sending pallets and pallets of food to her because there's nothing to be had. You can't go to the store and buy anything, and they need food desperately. Just as an aside, and this is also a beautiful thing, a lot of the food is being donated by Hamish organizations, Hamish companies. And even today, somebody's traveling to Krakow. Okay, I'll wind up. Lvov is another city. So far to date, we feel that Klai Yisrael has spent about, as of last night, about $6.5 million together, of which our fund has participated with about 2.2 million of that so far. And we're sending probably about $500,000 or $600,000 out today. So the money that comes in $18 and $25 and $10 and $100 and $1,800 is making a huge difference to make sure that the work can go on.
Okay, Yishkai for Shlomo Naif, thank you so much. And here's the two things that I've been asked to request from the Choshev Rabbanim. Number one, the Baruch Hashem, they brought in, as Shlomo Naif said, it's already up to $7 million, including the matching, and they're using a charity campaign format. What that means is the way charity campaigns work is that there are teams, and the team reaches out to all of their friends and all the people they know. And in this case, we would ask each shul to take a team, and the name of the shul and all the mispalim would give to their team so they can feel a certain pride that they're giving it through their shul, and they know that they're mamish helping the yid in this. What you've heard before is unbelievable. And they're in the Hatzolos Nefashis, literally in the Hatzolos HaGufim and the Hatzolos Nefashis activities that are going on, not to mention the mental health aspect and all the rest. So number one, we'll be sending out a link to everybody who can, if possible, make a team, or at least send it out to your mispalim. If you have any questions, there'll be somebody there to help you set it up on the technical level. The gabbai of the shul or somebody you appoint can take care of it technically. The second inyan is that Purim is coming up in Mirtz Hashem. And the Aguda Rabbanim are suggesting that every single shul make an hour over Purim, whether it be at night, during the day, before the Suda, whenever each Rav decides to spend an hour with the Tzibur, comes to Shul, learns Torah specifically in this Schus. This is Mamash Purim's bringing Leich Knois, it's called Yehudim, to get together, to daven, to learn, and this can make a big difference. So Mirtz Hashem will be sending out, after the call, we'll be sending out a letter which will include all the information from the Rabbanim about this suggestion, as well as a link to make a team. And we hope that everybody can be mishtatif. And as I said at the beginning, in La'es Kazoisi Gat Lamalchus applies to every last Yid in Klal Yisrael who's able to help. And Yitz Hashem, as many of the Matzik Dolei Atara all made recordings urging people to participate. And one of the things they said is that, you know, from one Yid that got saved during the Muhammad 80 years ago, there's now could be thousands of Dairus. So every single Yid we save today in a number of years now, in a generation or two, could be thousands of people. So Yitz Hashem, we shall be Zaycha to take part in such an important Hatzos Nefesh that the we hope only comes once in a lifetime. I'd like to just end with from a few words from Rabbi Chaim Dov Zibel, unless Rabbi Pearl, has anyone asked any questions on the chat? No, okay, good. So then Rabbi Zibel will give us a brief bracha achrita to the Rabban.
Thank you, Rabbi Leibish, I appreciate it. I just wanted to say very briefly that I was sitting here and listening to the presentations of the panelists, which I've heard in a variety of different ways over the last few days with different groups and so on. And every time you hear it, it shivers run up and down your spine. It's something which is very, very frightening. It's a matzav, certainly in my lifetime, I don't recall there ever having been a matzav comparable to what we have right now. And I just wanted to say that I think that the fact that there is, Baruch Hashem, this group of Rabbanim who have come together, approximately 100 Rabbanim or so are on the the Zoom conference now. And
in addition to Rabbanim on the phone.
In addition to Rabbanim on the phone. And that alone, I think, speaks to the importance of an organization like this. The fact that there is a renewed focus on the importance of Rabbanim getting together and feeling a chavrusa shaft with other Rabbanim throughout the country is something which is extremely choshev and will lead Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach to wonderful things. And we wish you all great hatzlocha and bracha in spreading the message that we heard today and helping bring in the types of monies that will be necessary for the Hatzalas Nefashis that Rabbeinu Shlomo wants us to engage in right now. Yashar Kechachem.